Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Welcome to a double presentation highlight here on Daniel Britt and Friends. Later in the show, we'll hear from the Pipers in a conversation we had back in 2006 at the National Quartet Convention. It really gives a great history of their ministry, an overview. But first, let's visit with Allison Durham Spear, also around that time, featuring many gospel favorites with new arrangements. Allison Durham Spear, now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Well, the first time I heard about your music was years ago, and I don't know that I would have classified it strictly as Southern. Did you come into the music world, maybe not in the beginning, but at least pretty strong with a contemporary focus?
Actually, my very first exposure to music in general was with Phil Cross was my first producer, and it was a very Southern record. It was on Homeland Records. Yeah. Back years ago, they had the Spears and the Cathedrals and Florida Boys and so many incredible groups. And that was a pretty Southern gospel record. It still had some church flair to it. But then I hooked up with Bill and Gloria Gaither, yeah, and the vocal band was very contemporary back, yeah, then. And I signed a contract with Bill's label, Star Song. And that was a very contemporary label. They had Petra and, yeah, Twyla Paris.
I remember that.
And I did a contemporary record, which was a very good record. Great in adult contemporary music for me. But then Mr. Gaither decides that he's going to take a left turn and start creating all of these wonderful Southern gospel videos. And that opened up a whole different area of music for me. And since I married into the Spear family, I was already beginning to love that kind of music and be influenced by that kind of music. So
on Star Song, were you just Allison Durham?
Yes.
Okay.
I was a Spear. I was married into the Spear family, but Star Song wanted to kind of separate me from
that
Southern gospel. So we dropped the Spear name so I wouldn't be put in the Southern gospel bins with the Spear family. And that was a mistake because a lot of folks thought that I divorced, mm-hmm, Brian and the Spear family and my old life. And but we had to correct all that.
Sure.
And with the next recording, we went back to Allison Durham Spear.
When I was drifting out in sin, I had no peace, no joy within. But Jesus came and made me glad, the dearest friend I ever had. When Jesus comes, the way is bright, for he's the way, the truth, the light. He cheers me all when I am sad, the dearest friend.
He saved my soul.
did you start singing really out and
about? Well, I started singing when I was about 18, which was 83, 84.
Yeah.
And I had no intention of going into full-time music. Of course, I never dreamed. I was a farm kid from Kentucky. I never dreamed about going into music. But sure. I loved music. And I went to the University of Kentucky thinking I was going to major in horticulture. And did very good with my horticulture career until Maurice Templeton called me and said, I hear you can sing. And I'd like for you to go on my cruises. My Bible study cruises with Charles Stanley. And, yeah. and I told my mother and grandmother that this man had called me and wanted me to go on these cruises. And they just flipped their lids and said, you're not going on a cruise with any man we don't know. And so we piled in the car and went to Boone, North Carolina, and met Maurice and his wife, Phyllis. And they fell in love with them both. And we ended up doing an awful lot of cruises. And Mom and Granny went with me on a lot of those cruises. And we had a blast.
So what year did you get married?
I should let my husband answer that.
In 1989. And so you were already singing when you married into the Spear family.
Yes.
And we've already, and so, and this is new to me. I'm learning this. You did the contemporary thing, the Star Song album, after you were already a Spear. So did anything immediately change when it became Alison Durham Spear? With your music career, having that rich heritage now behind you with the Spear family?
Well, the only thing that really changed was I begged Brock Spear to hire me as the soprano of the Spear family. And over, I got rejected. He always told me I was just too expensive.
Well, with that rich heritage, how, and I'm sure people, you get that all the time, the Spear family, and they expect this rich heritage, you know, that you bring that to the stage. How do you carry on the Spear tradition, but at the same time do something new and fresh and exciting?
Well, you know, this new release called This Old House has taken us back. We just helped empty out the Spear building that's been on Music Row for about 40 years. Ben is moving out of that building, and it's an end to a heritage, an 85-year heritage of the Spear family. With all of these things that are happening as the Spear family kind of drifts into our forefathers, and I decided that I really wanted to go back to some of those roots. With this record, we recorded one of Dad Spear's old compositions. Dad wrote a lot of music, but he didn't write any lyrics in the beginning when he worked for James D. Vaughan Company. And he had a lyricist that worked with him all the time, and this lyricist passed away. And Dad Spear went into his piano and he knelt down at the piano bench and he fell before the face of God and said, Lord, send me a lyricist. I've got all these melodies. I don't have any lyrics. I want to sing songs about Jesus. He got up from that conversation with the Lord and wrote a song called The Dearest Friend I Ever Had. It was his first composition alone. Wow. And so we recorded that one on this record. And then we recorded Dad Spear's signature song, which was Bound for That City.
Yeah.
And we put a little bit of Heaven Will Surely Be Worth It All in the middle of it. And we've really gone back into our heritage.
Sun never sets in the sky. and our hearts will be gay as we stroll through that city of pure gold. No more dying up there, no more burdens to bear. For nobody will be feeble
Allison Durham Spear from her latest CD project, This Old House. This is Daniel Britt and Friends. We're talking to Allison during an interview that was recorded in September of 2006 during the National Quartet Convention Week. Once again, here's Allison Durham Spear.
As a child of the 80s, the 70s and 80s, you probably remember the Oak Ridge Boys' When King Jesus Comes to Live With Us Again, and Life's Railway to Heaven is a classic. That's on there. And just some incredible, This Old House, we went back to Rosemary Clooney's version of that and kind of revised her version of that. And it's just been a wonderful journey. Johnny Minnick produced this record, and it's got so much heart, and it's got a great Southern gospel feel, and Johnny's singing on there.
Really?
So we did some great harmony stuff, and with Johnny and his son, Aaron, and Mr. Mike Allen of the Gaither Homecoming Tour is on there, the great bass singer, and Reggie Smith. Is on there. And
you guys run in some pretty close circles. Allison Durham Spear, Mike Allen, Reggie and Lady Love. I'm waiting for a group announcement, you know, any day. Every time I see you guys, you're always together. You're doing Katrina work or you're out doing something, you know.
Well, you know, there when we were doing background vocals for this project, we put Johnny Minnick and Aaron and Reggie Smith and Mike Allen together. And man, that's a quartet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Allison Durham Spear, my guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends. That's from her latest project, This Old House. And as she mentioned, Johnny Minnick had a great part in this project and actually performed vocally. Johnny, as you may remember, was the third part of the Happy Goodman's Howard and Vestal and Johnny Minnick in the later years. Here are Allison Durham Spear and Johnny Minnick now with the classic Goodman tune, Had It Not Been.
Just suppose God searched through all of heaven, couldn't find one willing to be. The supreme sacrifice that was needed to
Allison Durham Spear, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, a double presentation this week. Switching gears now to talk to the Pipers, based out of Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Here's a conversation from 2006.
What kind of success have you guys seen through the years that you have been singing together as a group, as a trio?
Spiritual success, yeah. An anointing.
Yeah.
And
that's how you define success, right?
Yeah.
As a
anointing.
It's not just a recording artist or not just as a traveling group. It's very much ministry for you guys, right?
Yeah. It's like if a preacher preaches a sermon and people receive help from it, the sermon was just a vehicle. It's like the success is when the kingdom's built. And if you have an anointing when you sing, then people are blessed and yokes are broken and bondage is set and people are set free. And
Right. And
that's what's happened. I mean, it happens. I believe it's passed down through your lineage. I think that, you know, blessings and curses passed down many times. But it also, that anointing comes as you get closer and closer to the Lord and His anointing flows through you. And that's what people respond to in our concerts. It's an anointing.
I felt so unworthy. I'd been untrue. Thinking only of myself. Everything I tried to do. Then I finally hit bottom. After falling so long, I cried out to Jesus, Lord, help me, I pray. No, I've been getting it wrong, now I'm getting it right by believing the word. There's no way out. First talk to Jesus, then take my hand. We can help each other find a perfect route that leads to the promised land. We'll be getting it right by believing the word. The word, getting it right, knowing my prayers are heard.
And music has a way of breaking down a lot of barriers. And when you're going in with a message, even within the church, there's a lot of disunity. I mean, you've got theological debates. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know where you are theologically, but it, you know, as long as you get Jesus right, I guess it probably doesn't matter that much. You right. go in with the message, mm-hmm. and you can sing to a wide variety of religious backgrounds, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. theological backgrounds. And give me some examples of going through different kinds of doors, maybe doors you individually aren't used to going through.
One thing before you leave that subject, Jesus gave us real strict instruction what that's all about. When he told his disciples, they were all upset because somebody that wasn't in their group was over there casting out demons and preaching. Yeah. Jesus said, hey, leave them alone. They're yeah. not against us. You know, they're for us. Yeah. And so I think that that's Jesus' answer to all this thing. We're not supposed to get all tied up in these differences. Sure. It's a trick of the devil to divide. Sure. But as far as doors walking through, that's the question you ask, right?
Yeah. Well, walking, have you walked through a church door that maybe, if we get through this tonight, it's going to be the Holy Spirit, because I don't know how this is going to go over. Have you ever had nights like that?
Can you think of any?
Well, I'll tell you. We've been at this so long that even in places where you would feel that way, where you don't feel any reciprocation, mm-hmm. or like they're just not getting it or whatever, I just kind of draw my strength in those cases from John and Mary. And it's like we can just kind of have our own little worship service on stage. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, obviously my strength is from above, you know, from the Holy Spirit. But then if I need some reciprocation, mm-hmm. then I can just draw from those two. And sure. we've done that before.
Oh, I've got one that was a little concern. Mm-hmm. We were at a Catholic church.
Yeah.
And it was up in the hills of Pennsylvania. And we've not sung too many Catholic churches, but a right. time or two. Right. And they were wonderful people. And we were setting up, and it was during the summer, and it was hot. And we had a piano player that he was kind of energetic, yes. kind of guy. And he's flighty, and he'd run around, and he got real hot. And I got a little concerned when he went over to the holy water and started washing his face in it.
Oh, no.
I wasn't sure how that was going to turn out.
And you could only get these stories when you've traveled as many dates as you guys travel and been here for so long.
Clubs, revivals all week long. You campfires, join the choir and sing a gospel song. Yes, these are all good things, and that is surely true. But we gotta ask ourselves a question: why do we do what we do? Because if it doesn't come down to pleasing Jesus, it won't count. If he's not the sole motivation, then leave it out. Goals, let's take the road, find out just who missed. We got senior saints, passion plays with nursery down the hall. Prayer request, BBS with business meetings call. Yes, these are all good things, none of them are wrong, but only what's done from a pure heart lasts eternally long. And if it doesn't come
down to pleasing Jesus, it won't.
Then leave it out. Lift him high and see him glorified.
her voices, choices to believe the things they say, telling you you're worthless, useless, hope is gone, your sin's too great, the past returns to haunt you, taunt you, you wanna run away and hide, but there's a hammer ringing, singing, you are precious in God's sight. Love still calls to every broken heart, to everyone who bears the scars of failure.
I think probably this year we'll be somewhere in the 150 neighborhood, I would think, maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure.
And how would you describe your sound? You're not a quartet. You got two lady singers and a guy singer, and you play the trumpet as well, and we'll talk about that, John. How would you describe your sound in for one who's thinking about a traditional quartet sound or like a Happy Goodman Family sound? Where do the Pipers fall into the mix? Or do you put yourself in it?
Well, I don't know what the ladies feel, but we never have ever set out to get a sound.
No.
We do what we do. Mm-hmm. We sing the best we can and try to, you know, have as much excellence in what we're doing as possible. And it's just what we are. Don't you think? I mean, I don't know. And most people in our industry just feel that we're just who we are. The Pipers are just the Pipers. They don't really have a tag on our style.
It's
maybe that's vague, but I don't know how I'll say it because we have never tried to. our sound would come largely too from our producers, mm-hmm. you know, and the way they things are arranged and the tracks mm-hmm. that are made. And
when we pick out songs too, it's like, well, you know, Candy, would you want to sing this song, or do you have a strong feeling about doing this song, or John, do you have a strong feeling about this song, or Mary, do you want to sing this song? So, mm-hmm. you know, we really kind of pick and choose. You know, if you really have a heart for a song or that song ministers to you, then you say, you know, Candy, I'd really like to sing this song.
Mm-hmm.
And or Candy might say, Mary, I think this song would be good for you to lead, you know, and then we build the harmonies around that lead, whoever chooses to do that song.
You play instruments?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
John, I know you play trumpet.
Yes.
Has you played anything else?
No, not really. One time I did a little bass guitar playing, and it was rather loud and obnoxious. And
I think we've all tried something like that before.
Yeah. And I never, as a kid growing up, took piano lessons or anything. I just loved the trumpet so much. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think of playing anything else, and I just that's all I've ever done.
Mary Jane, you play
the tenor sax.
Tenor sax, mm-hmm. That's right. And how long have you played?
I've started playing in fifth grade of school, you know, and I've been out of school since 1968, so you can do the math on that. I'll be 57 this month, so it's been a long time ago. And then I quit when I graduated from high school, quit. And then in 1985, John came around. He said, we need to get those horns out, and you need to play, you know, sax and stuff. So I went and bought a new horn and started playing again.
And Candy, what do you play?
I play alto sax and guitar.
Yeah.
She's a bass guitar player, too, but she never plays that with us anymore.
Yeah, our group used to have a full band, and a bass player is really what I am. Mm-hmm. And like Mary said, John wanted us to get our horns out, which I'm glad he did. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I've tried to learn to play the guitar enough to help with ministry when we have a whole service or concert. We need, you know, if we need some freedom for ministry, I'm trying to learn to play well enough to be able to do that.
Well, Candy, you're probably about the most normal one of the group, then, I would imagine, because the guitar is about the closest, you know, that's pretty standard instrument in gospel music. Yeah. The rest of them, that's really what sets you apart, I imagine. Yeah. The saxophones and the trumpet. How have you found that the audiences have been very open to hearing that in a genre that's not normally heard, especially live?
Well, the first time we came to convention in the middle 80s, it was in Nashville. And at the convention was, at that time, the big crowd was 2,000. Uh-huh. And that's been quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And it's grown tremendously since then. My dad was there. And he said, when we started playing our horns, there were some ladies sitting behind him. And their comments were, what in the world is this kind of music doing at the Quartet Convention? But over the years, you know, people have accepted it. And we do it to glorify God. And it's just part of our ministry. And it works. You know, it works. It's like people get very jaded in the type of music they want to hear.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, if you talk Southern gospel, it's all over the place. It's
really
from one extreme to the other. And so that's just where we've always been. And maybe we didn't fit just right, but that's just what we do.
That's what people request most of about the group anymore. I want to hear that trumpet, you know.
Yeah.
They love to hear John play.
And you incorporate multimedia in with that now, too, don't you?
Yes. We have a system called the Edirol system that's a computer-based streaming video. And, and we started using that, what was it, three or four years ago. And took that on the road, and we had 12-foot screens we were setting up and lights to keep, you know, so we didn't have house lights on the screens. Mm-hmm. And we went along about a year setting that up almost every night. And then within a 2 or 3 year period, it just seemed like the churches, now I don't know if we were, the churches were just upgrading their multimedia in the churches until we got to the place where we were hooking our equipment into their video projectors and screens. And now that's all we do.
Sure.
I mean, it was a real quick thing. It was just in a 2 year period or so, all at once the churches, and I think it had to do a lot with the projectors, the price of the projectors getting in line.
Right.
And all at once the churches were in, they had better equipment than we did.
Yeah.
So then you didn't have to do all the lights and, you know, and all that. And it
saves on travel too.
Yeah, so it made it a lot better. That we still do it, but we just feed into what the church has usually.
Somebody shout, blow the
Pfeiffer's is hard to spell.
Hard to say, too. Yeah. We established that.
Yes.
And so our website, of course, has that word in it, which makes it difficult. Yeah. But it's pfeiffers.com, P-F-E-I-F-E-R-S.com.
Thanks for stopping by. Let's do it
Thank
again.
Thank you, Dave.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, each week Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.